When all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And as he was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical appearance like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. And I love how the Message puts it. You are my Son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life. That's good, church. And then immediately following this, we enter the fourth chapter with, then Jesus left the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted. What a wild ride that must have been. Jesus is baptized. He hears a voice from heaven telling him that he is the beloved. He's filled with the Holy Spirit and then is led into the desert for 40 days of agony. That's just how it goes sometimes. And I think that this demonstrates something really important about our lives. And so here's today's sermon, right here. The only reason that Jesus was able to go into the desert and be tempted and withstand trial, and not just withstand it, but thrive, is because he deeply knew and believed what God had just told him. He is the beloved Son, and God is well pleased with him. And that's today's sermon, and I'm glad that that's basically it, because it will take you your entire life to internalize that message. And I am only 23 years old, but I know and understand that that is the key to enduring and withstanding and thriving in every challenge we'll face in life. You are his beloved child. We must believe that. And we must carry that into every moment of our lives. So let's turn over to Luke 4 and see how Jesus carries this truth into agonizing temptation. Then Jesus left the Jordan, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone." So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you their splendor and their authority, because it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone that I want. If you then will worship me, all of this will be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And so he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you, and they will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Do not test the Lord your God." After the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. So, one of the reasons this story is so important is because it models full and complete surrender to God. And for our purposes today, we're going to call this concept, this full and complete surrender, self-emptying. It's the idea that we must completely empty ourselves of our own will, that we might be completely receptive to the will of God. By self-emptying, we come more fully into our belovedness. By self-emptying, we allow ourselves to be more like Christ. By self-emptying, we enter into a deeper love of God. And by self-emptying, we proclaim that God guides our lives, not our natural desires and inclination towards sin. So, as we enter enter into these next 4 weeks together, I want you to keep this question at the forefront of your mind. What in us needs to be emptied out that God desires to fill with his love and his life? What in ourselves needs to be emptied out that God desires to fill with love and life? But see, the problem is that our culture does not like things that are empty. Think about it. We live in a world with cell phones, and we don't like those cell phones' batteries to drain to empty, because when they drain to empty, they die. And to fix that, we created cell phone cases that will charge your phone as you just go about your day. Ask Sarah Lemmy, she has one. We also discard things that are empty, and it's created a huge catastrophe for our environment. Those cans of Coke you drink, what do you do with them when they're empty? You throw them away. Those bottles of water, what do you do with those when they're empty? You throw them away. Even down to our internal life, when we feel despair, we often describe this as feeling empty inside. We associate emptiness with finality. We associate it with uselessness, which makes this idea of self-emptying very counterintuitive to us. We don't want to be empty. We want to be full. And so we spend our entire lives desperately trying to fill these voids that we feel in our souls. And so the first thing we need to know about the temptation of Jesus, his self-emptying, and our own self-emptying, is that we are only able to do it because we have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and we are deeply aware of our own belovedness. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The only reason we are able to self-empty is because we have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and are deeply, deeply aware and believe our own belovedness. And through the example of Christ, who completely emptied himself, we see that we are not emptied to stay empty. We empty all of the things that inhibit us from fully entering into loving communion with God, that we may become more fully aware of God's will. And what is God's will? It's God's desire for the world and how we can take part of that. So, let's jump to the temptations of Jesus. So, Satan tempts Jesus in three ways. First, by telling him to turn stones into rock. Secondly, he shows him all of the kingdoms of the world, and he says that they can be his if he'll only worship him. And lastly, he tells him to go to the top of the temple, saying that if Jesus really is the Christ, then God will save him if he jumps. And it's really important to note here that all of these temptations, Satan is directly challenging and questioning Jesus' belovedness. And though we may not fast for 40 days in the desert, as Christians, these are the exact same temptations that we face every single day of our lives. So, let's go to temptation one. So he took him to Jerusalem. Oh, oopsies. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And in our day-to-day lives, I call this looking for a source of life and love outside of God. And one of the clearest ways I see this in our culture today is through our use of social media. We are obsessed with posting the perfect picture or posting the most witty tweet. Therefore, in order to receive the optimum number of likes, amen, I do this. I am guilty of this. I will post something and then incessantly check for how many people have liked it every 20 minutes. And when I don't get the number of likes I hope for, you better bet your bottom dollar I'm really disappointed. Right? For many of us, we are so easily puffed up by social media response, and we feel so deeply overlooked when we don't get the response that we wanted. But we also do this with our jobs and our romantic relationships. It's the idea that our identity and our value come from work and romance. And this one has been very difficult for me. Because see, a year ago, if anyone on our church staff complimented me or affirmed me in any way, I was just waltzing on cloud nine. And for some reason, that affirmed God's call on my life. Right? It affirmed me down to my core. The dark side of that, though, was that when anyone on our church staff rebuked me or corrected me, and rightly so, I would sink into despair, and it would make me question everything. I would think, am I really cut out for ministry? Am I good enough for this? Why did I think that I could do this? And these highs and lows that I experienced in my work life and what you experience in your work life, it showed me that I was putting my value and my life in the work that God had asked me to do, not in God himself. And the work that God has asked me to do is beautiful and it's wonderful, but this work is not life. God, who has given it to me, is life. And we do the exact same thing in our romantic relationships. When we start a new one, we're usually on a love high, and we've got our love goggles on, and nothing can bring us down, except when that relationship hits a rough patch, or it just flat out ends altogether. And in the end, we spiral down into a pit of self-deprecation and self-rejection, and we think, what did I do wrong? Why was I not good enough for him? Why didn't she love me? And these highs and lows, these reveal that we put our life and our value in the people that God has given to us to love, not in God, the real lover. And I'm telling you the truth today. Those likes and comments and shares, those jobs as wonderful as they are, and those relationships as beautiful as they are absolutely nothing compared to the glorious life that we have through Christ Jesus in our Father. And so let's move on to the second temptation. So he took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, I will give you their splendor and all of this authority because it has been given over to me, and I can give it to anyone that I want. If you then will worship me, all will be yours. I call this serving and seeking to gain power. It's 2019, y'all. I think the better question is, what are we doing that is not motivated by a desire for power and glory? We live in a world that is broken by colonialism and imperialism. We live in a world of systematic racism and sexism. And what do all four of these systems have in common? They are designed to protect the power of a particular group of people at the expense of another group. Sometimes many, many groups. Look at the history of our Western civilization. Our ancestors spent hundreds and hundreds of years conquering foreign lands, exploiting the land and its peoples for money. Because money is power. You know that thing that we call Independence Day, July 4th, right? Well, it's not just us, guys. 58 other countries every year celebrate their independence from Great Britain. 58 countries from Great Britain alone. That doesn't include Spain. That doesn't include Portugal or France or all of the other European countries that spent hundreds of years colonizing other nations. What is colonialism? What is imperialism? It's the ever-increasing desire of a nation for power. We are citizens of a great country. I love this country. I love living here. but it is a country that has enslaved people and then freed them only to create systems to further oppress them. Many of us learned about Jim Crow in our schools, right? But how many of us learned about the mandatory minimum sentencing practices that are still done in our court systems today? These practices consistently keep African Americans in prison longer than their white counterparts that have committed the same crimes. They don't teach you that in school, do they? We live in a society that is broken from our obsession with power. And we're not even going to go into our consumerist culture, because the things we buy are often symbols of social status and power. And trust me, I get it. I get it. I have a MacBook right there. I have an iPad at home. I have an Apple Watch on my wrist, and I wear my real expensive Birkenstocks all day long. And all of these things that I treasure and value are symbols as my power, of my power and my social status. Power is so alluring, and it's all around us. It's no wonder that Satan tempted Jesus with it. All right, our last temptation. So he took him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." So really briefly, a little bit of backstory on this one. It was widely believed in Jesus' day that the Messiah would appear at the top of the temple. And several commentaries suggest that Satan was asking Jesus to go to the top of the temple to prove that he was the Messiah, and then jump from the top in a display of grandeur, only to be caught by angels at the last moment. How dramatic. Satan was tempting Jesus to prove to the epicenter of the Jewish community that he was the Son of God. And that's well and good, because Jesus is the Son of God, amen. But this would have completely disregarded this transcendent scene we just read about, where God opens the heavens and says, "You are my beloved Son." Satan was telling Jesus that he needed new proof that he was God's Son. Satan was telling Jesus that the Father's proclamation of "You are my beloved Son" was not enough for the world, and therefore it shouldn't be enough for Jesus. In church, what examples should I give of this? There are countless ways we go about our lives desperately trying to prove to ourselves, to other people, and to God that we are worthy of being loved. We do countless works. We do things that God has not asked us to do, just to earn the affections of people and God. We try to say the right things. We try to do the right things. We try to have the right beliefs to gain an ounce of affection, an ounce of approval, an ounce of acceptance. But the truth is, our Father has already shown his love for us. Jesus had nothing to prove, and neither do you. So, these are the things, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are emptying out of ourselves. Our desire to find life outside of God, our desire for power, and our desire to prove our worthiness to people. And as we empty ourselves, the next logical question is, what are we being filled with? Because remember, we are not emptied to stay empty. We are emptied to be filled by our good and loving God. And so to find the answer to that question, what are we being filled with, we should probably take a look at the responses that Jesus gave. So, response number one. Jesus says, "Man must not live on bread alone," and Matthew's account finishes this quote from Deuteronomy, "but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus affirms what he already knows. True life, abundant life, life that is so good that it keeps going into eternity, this life did Jesus survive 40 days without food? He survived because Jesus was deeply satisfied and deeply nourished by God's words to him, "You are my beloved son." It reminds me of Paul's words to the church at Philippi when he says, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Like Jesus, Paul could go through numerous trials and not go looking for a life outside of Christ. And if Jesus did it, and if Paul did it, well, the same spirit that was in them is in us. So can we. May you be deeply at peace, knowing that you are the beloved child of God. And never seek to find satisfaction outside of him. Second temptation. Jesus once again responds by quoting the book of Deuteronomy. He says, "Love the Lord your God and serve him only." I love how the Message translates that. It says, "Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." And in the face of this temptation, Jesus affirms what he already knows. Everything that belongs to the Father has been given to the Son. He doesn't need Satan to give him the kingdoms of the world. All the glory and all the power belong to the Father, and therefore belong to Christ the Son. In service to the Father, Jesus submitted power and allowed himself to die on a cross. And I know you've all heard this, but at any point in Jesus' life and ministry, he could have been like, "That's it, I'm done." When he was on that cross, he could have used his divine power and hopped right off. But he didn't. Instead, he submitted all of his power. The one who had every right to power laid it down, and he didn't seek it. We serve the Lord. And more than that, according to Jesus in the Gospel of John, we serve the Lord as his friends. As servants and as friends of God, we have no need to seek the power of the world. So when we find ourselves in the pit of despair and we think that we have nothing left, because we all have moments like that, we can say in earnestness and in truth that all things are mine because I belong to my Father and all things are his. So our last temptation, or our last response, pardon me, Jesus says, "Do not test the Lord your God," also quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. I encourage you to read the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus affirms what he already knows. He is the beloved Son of God, and he has nothing to prove. Jesus didn't need to jump off a building and make God catch him to prove his sonship to himself or to others. In the same way, we don't need to go about our lives trying to prove to ourselves, to others, to God, that we are loved. From the dawn of creation into the end of time, the love of God has always, always, always belonged to you. And we empty ourselves that we may become more aware of this present reality. And it does, this response goes all the way back to Jesus' baptism and to this question that I asked you at the beginning. Do you believe God when he calls you his dearly loved child? As we empty ourselves of these things that keep us from fully living in the love of God, the Father fills us with assurance that he is life, that everything that belongs to him is ours, and that we are his beloved sons and daughters. So as we wrap up, I want to remind you that this time of temptation prepared Jesus for his ministry. In the same way, confronting and overcoming these temptations will prepare us for every high and low in life. because of, as many of us know, life is good and beautiful, but it's also really, really hard. Jesus was led by the Spirit into that desert to face trials and temptations, and he was able not just to endure trials, but to thrive in them. And we can do the same. We can thrive during trials and temptations. We can empty our souls of the lies that we tell ourselves, trusting that we will be led into deeper love and relationship with God. And we do it the same way that Jesus did, by resting in